So welcome to Film Club. This is Jeff Yance. I'm the program director at the Loft Cinema, and I am here with sometimes filmmaker Heather Lattis.
Hello.
And multimedia artist Rusty Boulay-Stevenson.
Hey, guys.
And we are Film Club.
We sure are.
Yes. And we are very excited to be here today because we're talking disasters, disaster films, to be specific. We're doing a two-parter. Yes, so this is going to be part one of our disaster discussion, sort of pre-1990s. We're going to focus on the 70s, which were sort of the birthplace of the disaster genre, and then the rebirth in the 90s. We'll get to that in the second half. And I think we're all fans of the genre, yes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yes. Especially now.
Especially now.
I've done a little research.
Yes. Well, I've always said that disaster movies are like potato chips. Once you watch one, you eat the whole bag. They're all kind of similar, but boy, they taste great.
Well, and that, I mean, not that this is what we're going to talk about this time, but it's like with Walking Dead. It's a disaster to me. I just want to just watch them and watch them and watch them. I want to binge
yes.
watch. And,
yes.
and definitely disaster movies make you want to do that.
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, so starting in the 70s, I guess the best place to start, I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the granddaddy of the disaster genre, which are the airport films. There were technically four of them, the first being Airport in 1970, which kind of started the whole trend of hiring a huge all-star cast, putting them in danger, and then watching them die. And that's fun, and it's entertaining, and it's exciting. Which ones will die? Which ones will live? This one was great. It had Burt Lancaster in it. Dean Martin had a huge cast. It was actually one of the biggest hit films of the entire decade. And then they came back every few years, Airport 75, Airport 77, Airport 79, The Concorde.
I think I've seen that one.
The Concorde, yes. At the speed of sound.
Yeah, because it was so fast. Yeah, yeah.
So fast, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, we know that the airport genre sort of reached its culmination with the parody Airplane in 1980. It sort of hit all of the cliches and just ripped them apart brilliantly.
Though so, some may disagree. Heather, I'm looking at you.
I know.
Heather said she doesn't love Airplane, but that's okay.
Don't hold it against me.
She's not an adolescent 12-year-old boy, so that's fine.
Which is when I saw it.
That's exactly me too, and it's kind of stuck with me. But I think my favorite airport film is Airport 1975, which is actually the film that Airplane so specifically references. Huge all-star cast. Charlton Heston, of course, was in many of the disaster movies. If you wanted sort of a gun-toting macho windbag, you would. It was Charlton Heston, and he was great in those movies. And then the female lead, Karen Black, and it's all about jumbo jet gets hit by another airplane. The pilots get sucked out the window.
Woo!
And then, of course, the stewardess has to fly the airplane, which is why it's a hilarious movie. She's not prepared for this. It's Karen Black. She pilots the plane. And, of course, no one can believe it because it's the 70s, so sexism is rampant.
Right.
A woman's flying the plane. How can this happen?
Well, and I haven't seen it, Jeff, but I love the way you were describing when she's trying to fly it in, the guy who's trying to help her from the tower, he's like making it almost sound sexual, it seems like.
Yeah, so Charlton Heston is guiding her over the intercom, and there's lots of... Climb, baby, climb. Oh. Honey, pull that lever, pull that lever. And, of course, she can't handle it, so they have to drop Charlton Heston into the plane as it's flying.
Captain
Alan Murdoch. Yeah, so he can sort of take over and save the day. But it's got all the cliches. It's got the singing nun, played by Helen Reddy. Mm-hmm. Eric Estrada is in it from Chips.
Eric Estrada? Oh.
Well, and George Kennedy is in it.
George Kennedy, who's in all of the airport films.
Oh, George Kennedy, yes.
Playing Joe Petroni.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Blair, the year after she was in The Exorcist, playing a young girl in need of a kidney transplant. So you can see that all of these cliches popped up in Airplane almost exactly from this film. But this film plays it straight.
Yeah.
Which is why it's kind of hilarious.
Well, and I watched the Poseidon Adventure to kind of get ready for this. And Leslie Nielsen is the captain of the Poseidon, and he is one of the first people you see in it. And so when I was watching it this time, my reference was Naked Gun and then Airplane, obviously.
Yes.
And so, until the disaster hit in Poseidon Adventure, I was laughing a lot. I knew I shouldn't be, but I was, just because Leslie Nielsen.
Right, and he wasn't even a funny actor at that point. Right. But now, with retrospect, we think he's hilarious.
And so I think if you watch Airport 75, Jeff, do you just laugh now a lot when you watch it?
Oh, yes. I find it hard to believe that audiences, even in 1975, did not find it funny. But I think they did. I think these were intended to be straight films, straight action adventure films. Time has not been completely kind to them in terms of the camp appeal.
Right.
Or maybe luckily, you know, they're much campier and entertaining in a different way now.
Jerry Stiller is in Airport 75, I just read.
Oh, wow.
Jerry Stiller...
Sid Caesar, Myrna Loy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're like the just general. There's always a comic relief.
They are the comic relief. Yes.
Disaster.
Nice.
If there's a formula, then there's always a comedian in there.
Yes. So. Exactly. This one has three, and they're all drunk through the whole thing, which is kind of great.
Well, that is great.
And so Poseidon Adventure, actually, full disclosure, is one of my favorite films, period, of all time. Seen it many, many, many times. So you've both seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
Shelley, that was when I realized I had only seen Shelley Winters as an older actress, like on Roseanne and, you know, bit parts there. Right. So I had never seen her in her heyday of acting. And when I finally saw her, I was just amazed. And that's
She's so great in it.
Oscar-nominated performance.
It's a really great film. I mean, I've read reviews that give it kind of middling reviews, but I found it to be a pretty strong film on its own in every right. And when you say that it's one of your favorite films, I could see how it would be.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more going on. There's a religious subtext. Gene Hackman plays a defrocked minister who is questioning his faith and decides to lead these people out of this capsized ship, and they have to have faith that he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't necessarily.
Well, and I love it. As soon as we see the Gene Hackman character, he's talking to another preacher and he's saying, or another priest, and he's saying, praying won't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's going to matter is action and doing stuff. That's what God wants you to do. And I like that. That resonates with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. One with disaster movies where they're on a fixed vessel, like a ship,
yes,
or a plane or something like that, those tend to be a little bit different than when it's like Earthquake, where you can go, the storyline can go so many different ways. With Poseidon Adventure, it's just you're stuck there with them, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's such a good movie. You can't go away, you're just in it with them, and you just want to get out just like they do.
Whether you like them or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you pray Shelley Winters is there on the boat with you because she's got the swim medal, says, I can hold my breath for 10 minutes. And that's what you need.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. So I think that's one of the things about disaster movies, though, right? We put ourselves in that position. It's almost fun to think of a disaster happening and having your family there and you guys are struggling together. I go back to my growing up in the Midwest, we had this ice storm and we were stuck. Like, there was something kind of fun about that. And I had the flu recently, and even though I was delirious for a little bit,
right,
like, there was something I kind of liked it. Some part of me kind of liked that.
Will
and
you
that
survive?
I was there with my family, you know, and huddled down.
Will you survive?
Yeah, I survive the flu? Yes. But that speaks to us, right? I mean, that's exactly what disaster movies do, is they get you to put yourself in that place. You're not one that perished when the Christmas tree fell on you.
No, you survived. You climbed out the bottom of the boat. And there's the Towering Inferno and Earthquake and When Time Ran Out about a volcano. I mean, there were so many disasters, so many bad things happening to so many stars in the 70s. And I think it tapped into a certain kind of political sort of distrust and paranoia that was going on in the 70s.
Definitely.
Because it was usually about the building wasn't built up to code, or the boat was not being inspected, or the plane wasn't being inspected.
And there's something with authority there. I watched Earthquake, and there was a lot of when they call in the reserves and the reserves are helping the people. Mm. And there was the people like going against what the soldiers or were wanting them to do because they knew better, because they lived in the area, or because whatever, human nature.
Right.
And there was that conflict of authority versus people. So there was a lot of that.
And Charlton Heston was trying to tell them what to do.
And no one listened to him.
No one even listened to Charlton Heston.
No.
So you know all has broken down when you don't listen to Charlton Heston. But that was a general climate in 70s cinema, right? Kind of paranoia and post-Watergate, post-Vietnam. Yeah.
We had been lied to as a society.
Yes.
There was a disconnect from government to the civilian population.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does come up. That comes up certainly in Poseidon Adventure, the guy who didn't make sure that there were the right things on the stabilizers that would have kept the boat from flipping over like that. That guy, like you're saying, in the airport movies. So there's this disconnect where government should be doing something but isn't.
Right. And in Towering Inferno, it's architects who cut corners, and so they don't put safety sprinklers on the floors, the various floors above a certain level. That's why that building catches on fire and burns to the ground.
As we talked about with Jaws, too. Jaws, the beaches had to stay open so that they would keep bringing in tourists and people would keep spending money at the beach.
Yes.
Even though it wasn't safe.
Yeah, and Jaws is a disaster film, although it's a shark, but I think it's definitely people being terrorized and a calamity occurring.
Yeah. Sure, I think of it as a horror film, but it definitely is a disaster happening.
Yes. And also sort of dovetails with one of my other favorite disaster films from that era, which is The Swarm, if you've ever seen that. It's about the killer bees. It's about an attack of killer bees that sort of take over the country. But the same kind of thing, the government doesn't want to alert the population. They don't want to start a panic, which is always the case, you know, which means that Richard Widmark is going to have to die, of course. Richard Chamberlain is going to die also of massive bee stings. And then as we talked about, Airplane came along and kind of killed the genre.
Obliterated it.
Yes.
Right.
By just totally nailing it, every cliche, making fun of it. And it's really difficult to come back after a spoof like that, don't you think?
Oh, I think it absolutely made it so that you couldn't make an airport film for a couple decades.
Right.
I mean, that movie Airplane still is watched by people, by young people today, and 14-year-old boys,
mm-hmm.
right, who are laughing at it. And the women who love us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But then, of course, Airplane itself became a real touchstone for a lot of other films, like the Scary Movie franchise.
Yeah. Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun series. So it sort of begat another genre of film, because I think that was one of the first outright spoof films like that.
I think that's right, at least as far as my knowledge goes. And I think one of the things, too, that I want to hit on with disaster movies in general is just, especially these 1970s disaster movies, is the fact that it's things that we've made, that humanity has made, like a building or like these planes, that you don't have control of. You can't help the fact that you're 100 stories up. You've just got to deal with that. You can't help the fact that you're on a plane and you have to trust that pilot or the stewardess who's going to take over.
Oh, my God, no.
Can you imagine?
I cannot. No.
And so I think that's what was happening is we're feeling as a species, as a society, we're feeling like we're at peril because of these enormous things that we're making. Great big huge ship like the Titanic, the airplanes where we're not in control, even though cars are less safe, it's scary, the notion of somebody else having that control.
Definitely. And relying on other people. That was a big part of the 70s disaster genre. You had to rely on strangers to help you out of the situation, which I think is very uncomfortable for people to kind of get outside of your comfort zone, give that kind of control over to another person. And again, all comes back to Shelley Winters. You're praying that she's there to help you out of the sinking ship,
right?
You know, basically.
I think that's the way it works. We should point out that Poseidon Adventure actually is started from an earthquake. An earthquake happens, causes essentially a tsunami.
It's a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the ship capsizes. So there's a lot there. It's also just a disaster and just a natural disaster that causes then people to have this issue with the ship that they're on and this enormous thing. It also puts people who are very wealthy into peril.
Yes.
I think that there's a little bit of that people are paying attention to.
Oh, well, Towering Inferno is, you know, you have the the wealthy people who are in that penthouse or whatever at the top.
Right.
You know, and how it's affecting them and how they're just appalled at the fact that they're supposed to be in this very lovely advanced building. And here they are, you know, stuck, potentially dying.
Right.
You know, it's very interesting just to see the class issues. And then there's some waiters and the different roles of that.
Yes. Yes. It's never the riffraff, the right. quote-unquote riffraff that it's focused on. It's always how this is affecting the upper-class right. characters. And the airport series was always a luxury liner. It was not just a business class kind of Southwest flight. Not exciting.
Right.
But if it's a luxury plane, very exciting.
Right.
And with big stars. And in Airport 77, the plane actually crashes into the Bermuda Triangle.
Of course it does.
Which is great. So it's another twofer. So you get the crashing plane plus the submerged plane. So you get some Poseidon Adventure.
That's even better, submerged plane.
Oh, yes. And they're all rich because it's a double-decker plane, and it's the first time it's ever been flown across the Atlantic. And
I remember thinking, like, who gets to fly in the double-decker plane? I mean, I don't get to fly in the double-decker plane.
yeah, that's very special.
You're not a big enough star.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to talk real quickly. I thought that there was a lot going on in Poseidon Adventure, just in watching it and seeing what's going on. But I really enjoyed the Red Buttons character, because he's obviously in the closet. I think, and here Shelley Winters is trying to set him up with somebody. All you need to do is get married. And he's like, well, hope your children aren't haberdashers.
Because, right.
And then it cuts, as soon as he says that, it cross cuts back to them. And only one of them's wearing a hat. And it's a ridiculous, like, fez or something, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not a real hat at all.
Right.
And so it's making fun of the fact that obviously he's not that busy as a haberdasher. So there's a lot of really interesting commentary in those, too.
Yeah. And also, what I love about that film also in particular is the set design.
Oh.
Because they actually turned the boat upside down, and you can tell that they actually built an upside down set with urinals on the ceiling, tables, chairs nailed to the ceiling, and people navigating over the ceiling part where the floor is above them. I don't think it probably gets as much credit as it should for just being sort of an incredible piece of filmmaking and design.
Let me ask you, did you ever think about that as a kid? Like, I thought about that as a kid a lot. Like, if things were upside down and I had to walk on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. I would.
Oh, yeah.
You pretend occasionally.
So that kind of reaches back to something that is, I'm going to say it's something that's almost innate in us, where we're looking at things upside down as kids a little bit.
Yeah, it's primal, I think.
It is primal.
Yes.
It is primal.
And there's the scene where the kid in the Poseidon Adventure has to go find a bathroom. And he's confronted with this notion that, oh, all the urinals and toilets are now on the ceiling. And it just cuts to him staring and wondering how he's going to actually use these toilets. Luckily, they don't show us, but I assume he took care of the issue. But
yeah,
it was filling with water.
To go anymore.
The boat was filling with water. I mean, the whole boat was a toilet, basically.
Right.
So,
you know.
It was amazing. Everybody didn't have to go to the bathroom.
That's right. Yeah, so I think we're kind of wrapping up part one of our disaster discussion. So we're going to continue in a bit with part two, where we're going to be looking at the rebirth of the disaster genre in the late 90s with movies like Twister and Independence Day and Armageddon. They were back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah. And Sharknado. We've got a lot to talk about
so
in
much
the next
to talk
segment.
About, yes. All right, so we'll be back. Thank you, Heather Lattis and Rusty Boulay Stevenson.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And this is Jeff Yance, and this is Film Club, and we'll be back.